just a dull man, you think you're slick. You sold crack to my sister and now she's sick. But if she happened to die because of your drug, I'm putting in your culo a 38 slug.
I'm answering the games until it dies playing.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game!
No!
Kill him!
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I'm watching the games until it dies playing.
I can't play these video games.
Games and more entertainment radio.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 87. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
And what a great day today is. I've never been this full of energy. This is what happens when you get up with the cows at 6 o'clock in the morning.
No.
Yeah, I know. It was pretty bad, but last night was sucked. So I got all kinds of sleep and got all kinds of notes ready for the show here, so this should actually be a really good show here. And that's my favorite part about doing this. What I think is a good show and what people tell me is always the exact opposite. I like talking about games instead of the news and stuff, and yet every time we do one where we barely talk about games, like, didn't it seem like last month or last show we talked like about two games and then, you know, random news crap?
Yeah, I think it was a pretty good show.
Why don't I? I like talking about the games themselves instead of all kinds of the things surrounding it. I think it's good, too. You have to have balance.
It's a scene
whole. Yes, but I don't want to get all crazy and bullshit where we focus on one topic. Like, if it gets out of hand with the video game violence things, you know? Like, and I could just see the show...
It is out of hand.
Well, no, I know, but I mean, like, if it was, like, all over the news.
Right.
You know, like, it was half of the news was, you know, video game violence, and I would hate to have to talk about that kind of crap all day. You know, I would try to focus on the game still, because that's what I would rather talk about, and what I think, apparently I'm wrong, people want to hear. So, let's see, there was a few things, though, from last show that I had to clarify. I forgot to put the link to Bash on the notes, I guess. And some people in IRC were asking me, what was that site that we mentioned? And it's not Vash, it's Bash with like the second letter of the alphabet, BASH.org. And now I just screwed somebody's day, because they're going to think about it, and they're going to have to go read all those quotes all day now, I'm sorry. But it happened to me earlier today too, so you have to suffer along with me. Also, the car alarm that I thought didn't get picked up very well came through crystal clear.
Nice.
Yeah, and... all I have to say is I told you I lived in the ghetto. One of these days, I'm surprised though. I was mentioning this on IRC earlier that we haven't heard a gunshot yet. Maria! Oh, that was actually a joke I stole from Hunter. It was so funny. I thought, you know what? I've got to immortalize this in a show because it was too funny. He had me dying last night. Now, the show, in case you don't know by now, maybe you're a new listener. Maybe you just have a really short-term memory. The website is hwhq.com. The email address is c4.gameradio@gmail.com. You can write us, and we will read your excessively long emails on the air. We've got a couple long ones today. You can also join us on IRC and a whole bunch of other people, actually. And you know what? Since we clarified how to use IRC and what to do last week, we've actually had quite a few new people in there. And it's been pretty cool because, you know, new faces, everybody's talking about games and stuff. It's been pretty cool. So I'm excited to see that, and I'm really happy. The IRC information is on the front page of the website, which nobody goes to because everybody's figured out my path convention for the show, and they just usually type it in directly.
You should start randomizing it.
You know I was going to do that. I really was thinking about that just to start screwing with people, but I'm pretty lazy, so. And let's see, what else do I have here that I had to clarify? I think that just about does it. We've got some emails, and we've got, let's see, an email here from Cushion, who's I'm going to read first, because it's the shorter of the two. Which is
a shocking
it thing. It is. If Cushion, one of the greatest listeners, because he always sends us reviews on all kinds of cool stuff related to games, reviews on games, anything that we can't seem to get our hands on, he's on top of it. And remember we mentioned that show Intervention last week?
Mm-hmm.
He actually talks about that. See, he says, "Hey guys, I taped that video game Intervention show, and I thought I would let you know how it went. Normally, I would put a whole recap in the forums, but this show was so short that a quick recap should do the trick. Basically, the show was pretty unimpressive and a mess to watch. First of all, it didn't help that the show also focused on a bulimic woman and the two addiction cases kept going back and forth. Yeah, that's right, because it's like two. Like they
you'd think they'd come up with something a little more similar, though, than
yeah, really.
Eating disorder and playing video games too much.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe they're both trying to say they're both a sickness or something. Let's see. Second, the whole show never really explained the hows and whys of his addiction until you summed it all up at the end. Third, the show really didn't want to get sued, so every game is blurred out. Even his DDR pad is one big blur, and cheesy explosion and gunshot sound effects are in place of real game audio.
That's for the best, actually, because no self-respecting 20-year-old man is going to be playing DDR. Not at home.
I don't know. I guarantee they're out there, and they're probably in better shape than I am.
Well, yeah.
So
that much
there is something to that. The video game addiction part is about Peter, a 21-year-old who is fresh out of school, has no job, and is living with his dad and brother playing games all day. Not an MMO or anything all-encompassing, just pissing away 6 to 8 hours a day on the PS2. You see, the mom walked in on the family when Pete was 12. He tried to kill himself, and now... No, I'm sorry. Mom walked out on the family when Pete was 12. He tried to kill himself at 14, and now he just plays games all day. Trust me, according to the show, this is how it happened. It also doesn't help that, according to some vague internet-slash-computer addiction service, Pete's video game addiction will actually lead him back to suicide. Pete's mom comes back twice a year to ask him what he's going to do with his life. His girlfriend, that's not girlfriend, but a female friend of his, is mad that they never go out. And I think the dad and brother are pissed he's hoarding the TV in the house, the only TV. All of this on top of the fact he acts like FPS... That was great. All this on top of the fact he acts like FPS Doug from Pure Ownage means it's time for intervention. They all get together in the room with a doctor leading the intervention. The doctor is embarrassed to be there. In walks Peter. The entire intervention goes something like this. Okay. Oh, should I do voices? No, I can't do the voices. Okay, the mom says, "Get off the couch, get a job, and give me back the money you owe me." Peter replies, "Nope, girlfriend. You like games more than me." Peter says, "So, you know what, Pete? I'm behind you 100% on that one, brother, okay? I've had to make that choice a couple of times in my life, and you are making the right decision." "Okay, girlfriend, you told me you were going to kill yourself." Peter says, "No, I didn't." The doctor, "Peter, if you say I accept the treatment, you win a 42-day trip to Mesa, Arizona for mental counseling." Peter says, "But my mental health is fine. Peter and girlfriend talk outside. If you don't give up names, if you don't give up games, I can't read today, well, we're never having communication ever again." Oh, she pauses. "We're never having communication, wink, wink, ever again." Peter says, "Seriously?"
Yeah.
That's all right. See, Peter's got it made.
Yeah.
Doesn't pay any bills, plays games all day, and he's got this girlfriend. Girlfriend says, "I guess." Peter says, "Okay, I accept the treatment." Mom says, "Woohoo, I mean, my poor baby." At the end of the show, they say Peter completed the entire 42-day counseling course and then came home and reloaded his saved PS2 game. Mission accomplished. So all in all, not the big psychological study we were all hoping for. It was more of a tale of mom always gets what she wants, even if she walks out on the family and then criticizes them twice a year. Well, that's it for me. I'm off to celebrate my shortest email ever. Keep up the awesome work on the show, Cushion. That kicked ass. I'm glad I didn't watch that now, because I probably would have been just as pissed, but unable to put it into
it. It sounds to me like it was just more propaganda that games are bad.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like. And I like how he sums up the mom 100%, too. That's, damn, that's crazy. But I'm glad we got to hear about that, though, because I was wondering, you know, how well that went and everything and whatnot. Now, this is an email, quite long, so I better... clear my throat and all that. This is from Muck, who I do remember him writing this a long time ago. He says, "Hi, C4, Kobar, and Rybo." So listen up, Rybo, because I know you're out there somewhere. "Muck here to talk about God of War, E3, and the PSP with a few PSP tips if you care to read them. This is pretty awesome for the people with the PlayStation Portable."
Mm-hmm.
"Hey, C4, long time no write. Remember me? I was the guy who wrote in a year ago to give a preview/review on God of War that I saw and played at E3. You kind of dissed it and said the screenshots looked like ass. I'm glad to see that you changed your opinion and hear you give it proper kudos about it on the show. Now, the thing of it is, was I do remember saying, I think, remember, to my surprise, this game is actually pretty good, and I was blown away, because I remember looking at screenshots for this, and it looked terrible, and yet all I kept hearing was how great the graphics were, and that was what blew my mind away the most.
Maybe the screenshots we saw were poor resolution, or from some crappy camera, or...
Yeah, and it very well could have been, like, you know, an early build of the game, too, you know, I don't know, but it looked like crap at the time, and I was not excited, and then when I finally got my hands on it, it was actually amazing fun. Let's see here. That game was the shit, huh? I told you so. I knew that game was gonna rock. I read somewhere that Sony didn't think it was going to sell well, and that the hype wasn't there due to the lack of pre-orders. The reality was the game flew off the shelves due to the amount of word of mouth that got around because the quality of the title. Goes to show that hype doesn't always need to sell a game, but really good game can almost sell itself. Well, almost. I wonder why Beyond Good and Evil did so poorly. And he's right, you know, and I like to see this. I like to see a game that everybody is saying is fun, you know, sell well. And I really have to respect that. Now, the next E3 is almost here and I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to seeing the new systems and the new PSP games. This will be my fourth year to the show. I can't believe you didn't find a way to go to this show. Yeah. It simply comes down to I can't get away from work. It's not that they won't let me go because I would basically, if I had the money, I would say, you know, F yourselves, I'm going to E3, but I don't, and that's the biggest problem.
I'm sure we could get around it, even if they didn't consider us to be in the industry.
Well, here's his next sentence. Have you even tried to apply, give it a shot? I've had passes for the last 3 years. I didn't get this year's, though. I didn't even try, because I know I can't go. I just like having the card that says, you know, all of our shit on it. You know, I just like having it. I've got it here somewhere, I'll show you.
No.
Yeah. Let's see, you have an internet show about video games and you review them. Try to get in as a press/media or something. Guys with lame game review sites get in, so you should, right? You have to go to one of these years, the show is the bomb, and it will make you feel like a little kid in a candy store again. Pure sensory overload. And that's exactly why I want to go, because it's going to be giggly fun, you know? Look at all this!
Plus, if we got press passes, we could go into the meetings.
I need
That's why I would want to go.
Yeah, that would... No, see, I want to go for the booth babes.
Well, yeah.
I need to get a new camera. Packing like 48 batteries around with me. Let's do this. A couple gigs on memory cards. That'd be awesome. I hope Ode goes this year. Let's see. Even though there will be exciting new systems to check out, I'm really looking forward to seeing what future PSP games are coming our way in the coming year. God, I love my PSP. Since I got the PSP, I've been ripping and transcoding my favorite DVDs like a maniac. I recommend using the bootleg software PSP Video 9 and DVD Decryptor. They're very stable programs that do the job well and don't take a day to get the job done either. To rip a full DVD movie takes me about an hour, and the conversion from VOB, which is the file format on there, to MPEG-4 takes about 2 hours if I do a 2-pass at 512 kilobits per second at 29 frames per second. Now, that's going to be Greek to a lot of people, but some of us have spent years perfecting our MPEG-4 encoding, so. A 2-pass is necessary to get the best picture out of your system. The Video 9 software is nice since it will rename your output file to the proper lame naming convention that Sony has for the PSP. It will also generate a little thumbnail for you to go with the movie file in a Sony-only THM format. This is basically a small JPEG image snapshot from the first few seconds of the movie. When you add this to your PSP with your movie file, it will show up in your PSP menu screen. Grab a 1 gigabyte card is a must. Get one on eBay. Here is a cool PSP tip that you might not know. Now, I don't know any of them, but I'm sure some of the listeners out there would like to hear some of this stuff. I like to make my own thumbnails, since most of my Video 9 created ones are usually of FBI warnings and crap, so I want one that looks like what the movie is of. You can rename the thumbnail extension from THM to JPEG, and now view it on your PC with Photoshop or any other image editing program. Now you can just take a DVD cover image, resize it to the PSP thumbnail, and save it out as a JPEG. And I will tell you, you know, there is websites dedicated to having all that crap available to you. You can get shots, like scans of the box art. I don't have any offhand, but I used to frequent them. Yeah. And they have scans of the discs themselves, so you can print out your labels and stick them on your discs. All that crap is available to you.
There is a lot of encoding stuff out there.
There is. It's pretty detailed. Let's see. Resize it to the thumb. Let's see. Now, just rename the file extension back to THM. I'm trying to think if I forgot the last sentence. Now you can just take a DVD cover image, resize it to the PSP thumbnail, and save it out again as a JPEG. Now just rename the file extension back to THM and make sure the file name is the same number as the movie file, and you're done. I like to rotate my DVD covers on the side, since the PSP displays the thumbnails in a horizontal angle. In a rectangle, I guess, that's what he said. The DVD cover fits better on its side for the PSP menu display, and it almost fits perfect. I also like to use Amazon.com to get my DVD cover images. Ah, there's a good idea. Since they have almost every one, and it's a quick and easy to find. You can also add thumbnail images to the MP3 songs if you like. All you have to do is display a song in Windows Media Player and right-click the song listed on the right. Select Highlight the Advanced Tag Editor and select the Pictures tab. Now you can just add any image you want, like an album cover, to the song. Select Apply and you're done. Now you can see the album cover thumbnail on your PSP when you play an MP3 on your PSP system. Again, go to Amazon.com to easily get most of your CD image covers. Yes, this is a pain for everyone's 100,000 MP3 collection, but it's something to do if you want to show off your PSP a bit. That is cool. That is pretty cool. I can see me going a little overboard on that and getting all into it, you know. I like that kind of stuff. In more PSP news, already the news groups have an area for pre-transcoded PSP movies. TV shows and animated shorts that are all ready for transfer to the PSP. People are even converting Funny Flash animations into MPEG-4 movies for the PSP out there as well. It's alt.binaries.sony.psp to check this out. It's worth a look. And our little disclaimer, should not download any copyrighted material that you do not own.
That's right.
Speaking again about eBay for a moment, there is a lot of shady PSP crap going on lately in the eBay world. There always is, isn't there? Fucking damn eBay. I saw a guy on eBay that is selling a single PSP MPEG-4 ready movie from his personal library collection to the highest bidder. See eBay item 818992919. He posts a huge list of available movies of your choice that he will send via CD to you. He uses the old loophole, you must own a copy of these DVDs to watch them legally on your PSP, crap. I saw another guy selling the free transcoding software that is out there, like the PSP Video 9 or DVD Decryptor, and gives instructions on how to do it. Unbelievable, people have balls, huh? Which is, you know, I see this crap everywhere. You know, people packaging up all the stuff that's available for free. If you want to, you know, and in fact, I'll tell you the website. If you want to get all kinds of crap for free for video stuff, go to Doom9, I think it's dot, I think he owns them all, but it's maybe not .com. Try Doom, like the video game, 9.net and .org. I know .net works. So they post all kinds of news and stuff and links to files. They host a lot of the files. You can get all kinds of stuff, and you can learn an awful lot there. They have links to articles, reviews. They got incredibly detailed forums, all kinds of good stuff over there.
Very good.
Let's see. Now for something different. Have you seen the new screenshot of the soon-coming Burnout Legends for the PSP? IGN has a little write-up on the game with a screenshot of any action of it in action that had my mouth drooling. The environment, cars, and even the motion blur was all there. If this game is done right and is anything like the excellent Burnout 3, this will be a true must-have title. EA said that this title will be on display at E3 as well. I will give you another preview about it when I get back. Awesome. You might just have to break down, we were talking about this like an hour ago. You might just have to break down and buy a PSP, C4. Imagine playing Burnout on your lunch breaks in your car. Does it get any better? And no, I don't think it could get any better than that. Oh, and I almost forgot. They mentioned that this game will have connectivity online as well. You'll also be able to send a Wi-Fi demo of a single level so you can both play off of one single game pack with one track if your friend doesn't have the game. That's cool, man. Gotta go. Maybe I will send some E3 2005 photos for you to post on the site if you want later. Mock. Thank you. Yes, we do. That would be really cool. I don't know if Ode's going this year. I had to look into Burnout when you mentioned this, and I can't really review it or talk about it because basically all that is known is exactly what he just said. There's like one screenshot floating around, and it looks good. You know, it does look good. You know what I want, though? This reminded me of this. Was I want, and I don't know why I'm obsessed with this, but I've got to have it. I want to see a picture. Somebody with a digital camera and a PSP. This seems to be an impossible combination because I've asked people multiple times that own a PSP, can they take a picture of it with a digital camera? And they don't have it. They don't have the digital camera end. And I've asked people that I know have a digital camera, do you have a PSP? And the answer is always no. I don't know why. I really want to see a picture of a PSP playing one of our shows. I don't know why. I just want to see it on there. That's it. Since I can't do it myself, I just want to see it on there. I think it'd be really, really cool to have.
And if you want a purpose while you're at E3, Mock, just go ahead and soak up all you can and write us a big old email about it.
And pictures.
Yeah.
Pictures. Actually, there's whole sites dedicated to the crazy booth babe stuff down there. There's like massive pictures. Well, it's ridiculous.
That's the problem with the booth babes. It's become more important than the games.
I'm just messing around, but it's still fun.
I like hot chicks just as much as the next guy.
Yeah, but it's like, damn it, we're there for games, you know? Christ. Okay, because you know, not everybody here lives in Nevada, all right? And there's a few places we could go where we could see that kind of stuff and some extra, all right?
So oh, yeah. it's a lot extra.
It's not really just about the games. Now, you know what I heard? I was reading today some little interesting things I've seen, you know, online the last little bit, was that Guild Wars shot up to number one PC game. It's been off like a week. And it's like...
Here too, or just...
No, this is in Europe. Number one, and it was like everybody's thing. It was like everybody's number one thing, and that blows my mind. The bummer side of it is that what they're saying makes it so great is because you don't have to pay for it, you know, monthly, for one.
Right.
And for two, they said it was, you know, the appeal is the quick action. You know, they just jump in and play. You know, when you want to play Guild Wars, you can just sit down, fire it up for even a half an hour, have a good time, and get some shit done. And I hate to say it. Well, I don't really hate to say it. I hate to see it happen because I don't want that. And it's killing games like EverQuest 2. And I'm sure one might be being affected. I don't know. But, like, you know, Sony is losing their freaking minds because they don't have a huge success like EverQuest 1. But they're also not the only game in town anymore.
Right.
You know, and they're basically changing EverQuest into this World of Warcraft / Guild Wars game now where you can sit down, get your little ADD fix, and be done with it. And I'm not pleased at all with this.
That's the real problem, is that Sony has no balls.
Exactly. If they would just say, you know what, we're a different game, this is what we want to make, so we're going to do that, we're going to have our audience instead of try to take your audience, you know, and keep what we got that we suckered in, you know?
So 3 months before it came live, they decided, oh, wait, there's all this crap in WoW that we should have, too. And no.
Yeah.
Throw some balls.
Exactly. I am not happy with this at all. It's my version. Like, okay, I understand the appeal of a game where you can log in for an hour here and there and have a blast. I understand that. But I also understand the appeal of a game that is a lot more like Dungeons & Dragons, where it's more that you're not here to just kill things all the time and always do quests, but that you're existing in this world, where there's plenty of moments of, oh, crap, what do I do now? Well, there's a lot to do. What do I feel like doing? I can go do anything I want, you know?
Yeah, I think Guild Wars has a good place in the community, and I think it's a good thing that it's out there. It doesn't seem like it's really a... MMORPG or a replacement for people who like to play MMORPGs, but more like what you would play a single player game for.
Right, right. Which I was just going to say, you know, when I want to play something like that, you know what I play? I turn on a console and, you know, sit down and play a, you know, some kind of a single player game, or, you know, hop on Xbox Live for a minute or fire, you know, some kind of shooter on my computer, right, or a real time strategy game. And, you know, I can sit down, have fun really quick. That's just, you know, what I do for that. If it's a role playing game, there's plenty of awesome single-player role-playing games out there, you know. The social community thing is really nice, though, and I think that's, you know, a huge draw for this, because there's some, you know, we talk about, you know, video games all the time. You know, Kobar and I hear about what should be done, and, you know, I'm sure both of us sit around all the time thinking about random stuff, and I'm sure most of you do, too. And we came up with a really cool idea last week, I guess it was, you know, and it's just like, you know, it almost seems like, why would you even put that in a game? But it's because it adds a social aspect to a single-player game. And it seems like it would really help. But, you know, not to discredit something that I absolutely adore, like, and I'm going to use the example that comes to mind immediately, is Ys, the Ys series, Ys 6. I just played so much fun. I mean, sure, it only took me, like, 2 days to blow through it, but, you know, I was off those 2 days. That's my defense, you know? I had a lot of time on my hands. Any normal person might have taken a week, you know? But it's a little short, you know, maybe close to the 15-hour mark. It was probably shorter than that. No, my save game was like, wasn't it 10 hours and something?
Okay.
It was short, yeah, it was short. But, you know, it was a blast. And I would rather have played that than something like Guild Wars or World of Warcraft or... Oh, no, there it goes. I had to drop the WoW. All right, moving along before I get killed. Edge Magazine. Apparently pretty big all over. I don't think I've ever read it, but it's a really popular magazine. Apparently around Europe and stuff, I guess. I imagine it makes its way over here, and somehow I've just never seen it. The May issue, I guess it might not be May, it might be June's issue, but it goes on the newsstands on the 17th in the UK. They have already, like, they've already done this. They've got all their Xbox shots, hardware pictures, shots of the new games, all this crap laid out already.
You mean the 360?
So, whatever the hell it's called. What did I say?
Yeah, I think you just said Xbox.
Oh, yeah. Xbox 360. Yeah. They've got all this stuff for the new Xbox. And this is... It'll be out... What day was the MTV thing? The 16th, I believe?
Something like that.
So, it's either the 16th or the 17th. I think it's the 16th. The very next day, if you're out in the UK, look for Edge Magazine issue 150. They're going to have all kinds of stuff there about the new Xbox, which should be pretty interesting, you know, because then you're going to have some hard stuff to hold on to, you know, not just, you know, video you saw last night on TV. Now, I've got some sad news, and this comes from California. which doesn't surprise me at all. California has they passed a bill, not into law yet, but they've got it passed like the very first stage here, that bans the sale of violent video games to minors. Apparently they tried to push this thing on Tuesday, I guess, and it didn't go through. It went through on Thursday, last Thursday.
Why is this necessarily?
Because
sad?
Now they're gonna like be able to fine people like all kinds of money. You know what? You sold a game to a kid. There's $1,000. Bam. Mm-hmm. And California has a way of setting the trends for the country.
Right.
And I'm afraid that the minute this goes through, we're screwed. Everybody else is screwed. You know, because they're gonna say, "Hey, California has a law banning the sale of this game to anybody under the age of 18." So now our state should do that. You know, and there's actually already three other states, Illinois, Michigan, and North Carolina, that have the same idea trying to get through right now. Basically, that's all I know about it. I don't know what date they're supposed to, bring this to, like, the next thing. And then after that, it has to go to, like, the state Senate committee before. So there's still one more step in between. The only thing that's interesting that might stop this, I think, is that two federal courts have already ruled these kind of laws violate the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. This is a free speech issue. Now, it should be a cut and dry thing, you know what I mean? I would think, like, it's free speech, why can you do this? However, like, isn't pornography free speech? Right?
Well, yeah, it's, I don't really consider this to be all that big of a deal.
Well, yeah, because, we're adults, it's not going to affect us one shred. But, if I was 16, I'd be pissed right now, I'm sure.
Well, yeah.
I'd be flipping out.
The funny thing about this is now there's going to be 16-year-old chasers in front of video games, like in front of a 7-Eleven or something. Hey, can you come buy me this video game?
Shoulder surfing for a video game. I need Grand Theft Auto 5, man. Here's the money. Come on, man. Hook me up. I could almost see it happen, too. And it's terrible. I don't know what to say about this, because it's hard to say that this isn't a good idea. I'm fully in the, you're not going to stop free speech camp. But I'm also in the maybe our youth, does need to be monitored and maybe protected. You know what I mean? Like,
the issue,
there's a reason you can't buy cigarettes and alcohol until you're a certain age. There's a reason you don't get a driver's license when you're 10. Right. There's a reason you can't go out and buy porn until, certain ages. There's a reason for this kind of stuff. And, violent video games, they're fun and everything, and I believe harmless, but I do believe that there is. And you know what it is? It's these kids ruining it for us. They're the screwed up ones, I guess.
Right. They were screwed up before there was any media whatsoever.
That's true. That's true. And I'm sure they're the ones out there with the porno mags under the bed and the alcohol they're stealing from their dad and all this crap anyway.
Most stores over the last, 5 years, have started carding anyway.
They have. And you know what? It's because the register tells them too, by the way. I'm sure it's happened to all of us. You go into a store, you go to buy, whatever, and then they look at you. They give you that, they're not paying attention look, they're typing in their crap, and all of a sudden they stop and they look at you, then they go back to whatever they're doing because they're checking to see, your age. Some of us, will obviously be older than, 17 or whatever.
Right.
But it does happen, and that's the thing. Like hardware manufacturers, game developers are really opposed to this bill because they're saying, we do a good job of policing our own. We've done a good job of keeping things clean and together and all this stuff, so we don't need this to be a law.
Yeah, and the problem will come with if the police start doing what they do with cigarettes and stuff.
That's exactly what I was
setting up. Game sellers, they're going to shoot up the price of games.
Yep, and
which is already in danger of happening real bad anyway.
It is anyway, because they want the money. But look at
as far as that goes, in their defense,
the price of games is going up.
The price of games to make is thousands of times more than it was 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just, they need to stop with the production value. I don't want to play movies.
Exactly.
They're too expensive.
This is why I quit playing Final Fantasies. I didn't play them anymore. I observed them and then pressed a button every now and again and then got a little bit more, movie time. So.
The graphics are becoming way, way too good. Give me clean, crisp, nice looking graphics. Don't give me something that took 6 years to make.
Yeah, exactly. We have great graphics now. There comes a point where, the graphics are spectacular. They're awesome. Now let's work on something else. Mm-hmm. And
quit spending more and more money so that I have to spend more and more money.
Exactly, exactly. This doesn't need to get all out of hand, and it is, because unfortunately that is, you know, I mean, what's selling it? You don't see on the box for a game, you know, amazing gameplay. You don't see that. You never do. You see great graphics, you know, you see, look at how this beautiful, detailed world, you know, well, yeah, but is it bigger than three screens?
And the problem is, every single one of us are guilty of going, ooh, look at the pretty graphics.
Absolutely. As much as I still, you know, like and enjoy and play games that just look like complete shit to anybody now, and they're like, how can you play that game? It's like a couple dots on the screen. You know, there's a lot of games that I have where I'm just like, wow, that is a beautiful game. And I play it, and I just keep thinking, this game is beautiful. But god damn, does it suck. You know, there's no gameplay here, but god, it's pretty, you know? But god, it sucks, but oh, it's so nice looking, you know? I mean,
we're all guilty of being at least a little bit graphics whores.
Right, exactly. But,
it's got to cease at some point.
More than others. I've got a friend who bases purchases solely on graphics.
No.
This is why he winds up with crap like Rumble Roses. You know, he's got every Dead or Alive game there is. Doesn't play them. Watches the intro movies a few times, you know. Right. Sure, right before he goes to bed and right when he wakes up in the morning. But, you know, it's terrible because you can't go play anything. You have to bring something to play so they're fun. You know, that's terrible. Terrible. I have actual games to talk about, and I'm a happy camper, because see, I like talking about games. I hope we didn't talk too, you know what, maybe that's a pretty good balance. 30 minutes of news and industry type of stuff, and then maybe some games. You know, maybe that's a pretty good balance. I'm working on it. See, I think there's a formula. I really believe that there's a formula.
And by the time we're on episode 200 or so, we might have something really fleshed out.
Exactly. You know, like we may not work towards it too hard, but believe it or not, the thought crosses through my head every so often, and I do try to keep it together. It's just my obsessive compulsive disorder coming through, and it's terrible, but you know, I'll figure it out one day. Now, Midway, a company I do like, we're not talking about EA here. We have their a couple games from their E3 lineup, games that I expect to see pretty good things from, even though one of them I don't seem to care too much about at all. Which actually we'll probably talk about first, because I can't get all excited over something and then be all depressed about something and then be all excited again. That's just not, it doesn't flow well.
Right.
So the game I'm not so sure about, it's called The Suffering, Ties That Bind. I don't know if there's a the in there somewhere. The Suffering, Ties That Bind.
Wasn't there something like a Suffering game not too long ago? That might be a sequel.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if it was any good. I don't know anybody who's played it or heard of it either.
Like last year or something, it was like an Xbox FPS.
Really? Then you may be entirely correct, because this one is an Xbox game. At least as far as I saw. I don't think it's coming out for anything else. It very well may be. It's a third-person shooter, but it, you know, feels like you're playing a first-person shooter.
Right.
Because all you're doing is running around blowing stuff up, it looks like. And I don't know. I think it looks pretty gay. Now,
I'm thinking that's a sequel.
It must be. I've never heard of it, though. But I don't know. It sounds like it has a good idea, though. Now, here's the thing. At least as far as I'm concerned, all these third-person shooter games, right? Things that very well could be first-person shooters and nobody would be able to tell the difference other than the camera angle has changed and your control scheme has changed. Something to me tells me, like I always believe for some reason that they feel like they run on the same crappy, like, some engine that they bought from somebody for way cheap. Almost like a standard third-person action engine, maybe, that they licensed from somebody that just does this, and it's like garbage. And it's like, it seems to me it's the one they use for all these movie games. Like, it's the exact same engine. I don't know why, but that's what this game strikes me as. It just has that look to it, and watching videos and stuff of it, it sure looked like it was that same idea. The cool part of this game, though, is apparently you get to make decisions throughout the game, and I imagine this is, you know, you want to, maybe you're escaping like a prison or something, and you can free one of the prisoners, or you could kill all the guards or something. I don't know. But you can make these good and evil decisions, you know. Mm-hmm. It struck me as Fable, but not as detailed, right?
Right.
And the amount of good or evil, or I guess even neutral things, whatever, that you've done determine the outlook of your, the graphic of your character when he goes into like this super beast form. Like he has like this alternate identity kind of thing, whatever. He's kind of like the Hulk. Okay. He can just bust out all of a sudden and tear some stuff up. This game apparently, you know, there's something to it where you can turn it like this crazy, like spiky beast with these giant razor blade arm things or whatever. It looks pretty cool. That part looks like a lot of fun because it reminded me of this old Nintendo game I used to play called Werewolf. And like, he was just this normal dude running around and you would just beat stuff up, and it totally was like Carnov or some crap, right? Mm-hmm. But it was called Werewolf, but it was side-scrolling action game. And then you could get these little like wolf power things, and you turn to this badass werewolf that didn't have hands. Right. He had like metal talons.
Like that Sega game, Beast.
Altered Beast?
Altered Beast.
Right.
I used to dig on that game for days.
Rise from your grave.
Yeah.
Save my daughter or whatever. That was pretty bad stuff. I liked that. That was awesome. And then what else was cool? You know what? There was another one that reminded me of that. A couple years later on the Neo Geo, Magician Lord. Did you ever play that?
Uh-uh.
Dude, you're this little pansy magician with the little blue pointy hat and everything. Then you pick up these little colored balls. And, like, say, two red ones, and you turn out like a dragon dude walking around blowing fire, but you were, like, you know, not long range. Then you had, like a green and a blue or whatever, and you become a ninja. They had so many things you could... God, that game was sweet. I pumped a lot of quarters into that Neo Geo game, man. I could have bought the damn thing with as much as I played it. But, yeah, I don't know. This sounds pretty cool. I doubt it's that cool, though. Like, I would probably have more fun playing Magician Lord again than I would The Suffering Ties the Bind. Another one. Now, this gets me all excited. All right, okay. From this is Midway's, you know, a couple games from Midway coming up on E3. NFL Blitz, right? Have you ever played NFL Blitz?
No, but I've seen it in action.
Right? I love it. NFL Blitz is awesome. I used to play NFL, like, I think it might have been the first one. Like, it was just called NFL Blitz, but I want to say it was, like, NFL Blitz 99, because I also have the one after that was 2000.
Right.
And they don't run on XP anymore, so I haven't played them for years. You know, it's been, like, 4 years or something. But I've seen screenshots and video of this new one, and it is awesome.
It's NFL Blitz?
No. It's Blitz the League. That's the thing. In fact, I wrote it right here. No NFL license, thanks to EA. The graphics look really good. It's coming out winter 2005. They have all kinds of little cool little gimmicky things in it, though, which plays really well into this kind of a game, though. In the video, and I don't know if this is in the game yet, but God, I hope something like it is. Crap, there's a couple movies, I believe, from John Woo that where, like, if a bone breaks, they go to that X-ray view.
Right.
Right? Now, in the trailer for this, they're showing... It was a video, though. So I'm hoping they can do something in-game for this, where one of the guys gets hit so hard, and you just see, they x-ray his leg, and you see the bone break and everything, and it's got bullet time. Because you get into, and I can't believe that nobody, I didn't see this before, maybe it was in a previous Blitz game, and I just didn't know, but they have a thing called In the Zone, right? And that's so perfect for these kind of games, and I've just never seen it, I guess, in a sports game before, probably because I don't play very many sports games.
Yeah.
But it's called In the Zone, and it basically you can put yourself, like, I guess it's bullet time, I guess. So, you know, I don't know, it's, I don't like football games. They're boring to me, they're just, I don't know, I can't get behind something like Madden too much. You know, ESPN was a little better, I just can't do it. Blitz, however, I used to play the crap out of. And the reason is, it's kind of like the WWF meets NFL. Right? I mean, or whatever, what are they called now? WWE?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So, whatever. But man, when you got guys out there all decked out, these huge dudes, you know, and they're throwing this thing around, and then they're clotheslining each other, you know, and they're jumping all over the place, it's a lot of fun.
Well, and it seems to me that for the next few years anyway, while EA has this NFL license, what do they have, 5 years?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's a certain amount of years.
I think so. But anyway, If any NFL game wants to survive and sell, they're going to have to do crazy stuff like that and find a niche. Because they're not going to be able to have a straight football game without the NFL license and be able to compete at all.
Yeah, probably
they
not.
They were barely competing with Madden as is.
Yeah, you're right. You're entirely right. In fact, I don't think they were at all, really. I mean, I don't know anybody that played anything other than Madden, no matter how good the other games were. But this opens the door, though, for a lot of things like Blitz to have its own little section now. Now it's not going to just be NFL Blitz, it's Blitz, the league. It's still standard football rules, except for with a little bit of World Wrestling Federation or whatever thrown in. You know, you've got all kinds of like weird special moves and stuff your guy can do. The video shows dudes like clotheslining guys, bodies flying everywhere, and it's cool as hell because... they're screaming at you. You know, your guy gets all screwed up and you're hearing the guy talk shit. And on the other team, you know, how'd you like getting hit by that truck? The coach will come out and yell at him, get up, you piece of crap, get back out, you know? It's just, it's like, raw football or something. It's just, it's awesome. It really, it gets the blood flowing is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like Burnout does for me as far as racing games go. It doesn't, you know, I mean, just for me in particular, there's some people that get all behind the mechanics and all that, you know, simulation stuff.
And more power to you.
You know, yeah, you know, that's awesome. Send us a review that's not all hella biased because I can't do one straight if it's about a, you know, a non-arcade type sports game or a racing game. Now, something else coming out from Midway here. All right, let's see. Another one coming out from EA or Midway. Well, that almost was bad. Another game coming out from Midway that they're going to show here at E3 for us is L.A. Rush. Now, did you ever play Rush 2049?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I played 2049.
San Francisco,
maybe. There was one. I had it for the N64. It had like a stunt mode.
That was probably San Francisco.
Yeah. Where it was like this real blocky texture place, and it had like loops, and you had to do stunts and stuff. That was a lot of fun. I barely played the actual race.
Really?
But I played that like a madman.
You know, Ode did the same. Ode used to do the same thing. He had 2049 for his Dreamcast. He used to play the crap out of that, particularly the stunt mode thing, which I always found stupid. I never liked the stunt mode section. I don't know why. It just seemed... bad physics or something didn't make
it. No, it was supposed to. It was like all like moon gravity stuff.
Yeah. I didn't get behind that very much at all. And I played the San Francisco Rush one quite a bit, particularly in the arcade, because there was an arcade like at the casino next to where I worked for days, so I would just wander over there for food or something and always stop in to play some games. And they had some Neo Geo Fighters, which I liked to play in there a lot, and then always would wind up playing Rush a couple times, the San Francisco Rush. And I don't know, like, it was fun. It was like Cruising USA. Mm-hmm. You know, it was fun, but it didn't seem like it was, like, super awesome. You know, just, I don't know, it didn't really hit me that good. Sure, it was an arcade racer. I mean, crap, it didn't get any more arcade-y. I'm in the damn arcade playing this game. You know, and it just wasn't that exciting. I couldn't get behind it. I didn't seem to care too much. The Rush series has never given me the rush, is the problem, you know. And then 2049 came out, where it's all weird and futuristic, and you've got, like, wings and shit, and all kinds of really strange stuff. A good idea. It needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Moving along, now they're bringing us L.A. Rush, which I think is a good idea, particularly because we've got games like GTA. You know, we've got, what's the name, San Andreas, which is going to put people in that urban setting, that particular setting, as a matter of fact. And since I'm convinced that this game ripped off the GTA engine, as far as I can tell, and then just modified it for more driving. I swear to God. It's really, really weird. They even have, like, this game even has a map that is the spitting image of the Grand Theft Auto maps. Now, granted, there's only so many ways that you can do an in-game map.
Right.
But when the first thing you look at is, you know, the map, like, I'm looking at these screenshots and stuff, and the first thing I notice about the map is that it looks like they just transplanted it from one game into another. It's just kind of sad. You know, it's like, oh, man. And then you read along and you find out you've got, like, this big-ass city. No more of this, you know, racetrack crap. You have a big-ass city. And there is, like, a free drive mode where you can just kind of, like, cruise around and, you know, check stuff out and whatnot. So I don't know. It's called L.A. Rush. Another thing that really bothers me about it, which is it bothers me in one sense, but it really makes the game interesting in the other. And this is what's going to be the thing that's going to make or break this game, I feel. It's not going to be the open city thing. You know, I mean, didn't we just try that with something, Need for Speed Underground 2? Didn't they do that? And everybody, like, made fun of it and was like, this is stupid. Right? Now, they got Nitro. So you got your cars with your Nitro boost.
Right.
You've got the motion blur effects on the side, on the edges of the screen. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're going fast, you know you're going fast. You've got the terrible soundtrack. Right? Mostly, like, a lot of weird punk and a lot of other stupid crap that nobody listens to, okay?
It has to be there.
And it has to be because it's cheap, right? You know, or not all, I'm not saying all punk is bad, I'm just saying that, you know, not everybody wants to hear it.
Right.
And then there's all these other bands that a lot of people don't care to hear at all that are wind up on these kind of games for some reason. And here's the kicker, you've got these crashes now that are straight ripped out of Burnout. I mean, you hit this car and bam, you're in bullet time again. And now you're seeing parts and pieces and shit fly everywhere. And it really feels to me that they just tried to merge Burnout and Grand Theft Auto.
You know, I actually don't mind that.
Well, they couldn't have picked two more popular games to merge, though. I mean, you know, it's not like we're talking about some worthless crap here and some worthless crap there. We're talking about two huge selling games.
I think a lot of good can come from going, okay, that's a good idea. This is a good idea from this game. This is a good idea from this game. We're going to throw it all together.
Most definitely.
And now we have something that's at least semi-brand new.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think, I mean, it pays off. Look at World Warcraft 3. Right, Warcraft 3 took RPG stuff and put it into, of all things, a real-time strategy game. And you know, this game's going to suck. And you know what? It's one of the best real-time strategy games I've ever played.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really does work well. So I don't know if we're going to do good here with this L.A. Rush, though, where it really looks, I don't know, it might turn out really well. And I'm leaning towards this being a good game, mainly because they took so much from Burnout. It really feels like this is Burnout in a different universe without the name.
Yeah, look, I do have a problem with so many games stealing from GTA, though. It's getting way past old.
They're going to be their own genre. You know, it's going to be like
The GTA genre?
Yeah, it's going to be like GTA. This is a GTA shooter. This is a GTA racer. This is a GTA puzzle game. You know, I mean, how crazy is this? You know, and hey, they're making all kinds of money, I'm sure, but it's we need to take this somewhere now, which is my problem with the series itself is. They brought it to us, then they keep bringing it. Just change it. Please. Adapt. Grow. Something. That's what I think about it. But anyway, I think this is a good idea, though. I really do. I just don't like the open city thing, I guess, so much. The map just threw me for a loop. You know, it just didn't seem like it was a good... I mean, it's a racing game. Shouldn't, you know, what does a racing game map look like? You're seeing the track.
Yeah.
Not the Grand Theft Auto map in your head, you know, and you can't shoot people, you know, and what good is this then? Right? It shows you where your hideout is. No.
I would imagine you can't get out of your car. If you can't, what purpose would you do outside of your car?
Steal another one and go race, I guess. That would be a not bad idea for a game, though. If you could just run around and you had to, like, steal a fat car, and then you could race. And then you could take the money, steal another car, take it to the shop and put some money into it to beef it up, and then go race again. That would be more fun than just giving you an open city, I think, with the Burnout style crashes and nitros and all that crap.
Yeah, if you were gonna steal from GTA, you might as well
just go a little bit further. Why not? We're getting closer and closer. They're probably gonna have. Don't they already have all kinds of racing events in GTA anyway? They're not full-blown racing.
A couple, but yeah.
Yeah, they're not all well done like this, but anyway, enough bashing that. There's one problem I've seen with the Burnout. I'm going to call them the Burnout crash, because you know what? All these other games before this, they had weak-ass crashes. They had two cars bumping into each other in a dent.
Yeah.
You know, or...
All of a sudden, your car just goes...
Yeah. Or you had the invincible cars, okay, which also was no good. Now, with this Burnout-style crash, I've seen video of these crashes, right? I wanted to get a good feel for what this game was going to be like, and it feels like Burnout without the coolness of Burnout. It's weird. But the crashes are funny as all hell because there's a dude in the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's like a crash test dummy or something. Because he doesn't react to the crash. He's just in the car, and he's not flopping around, and he's not screaming, and he's not moving. He's holding onto the wheel with both hands still as his car is hurtling through the air, pieces everywhere, it's on fire, and this guy is like, hey man, give me a light. You know, he's just calm as can be.
Well, I think we're getting a lot of that cool crashes and stuff for the same reason we got the ragdoll physics. My guess is it's probably relatively similar in the programming aspect.
Probably, yeah.
And ragdoll physics are relatively new.
It's a nice gimmick, and I'm all for it. I like this thing.
Yeah.
Give me the pieces and the fire and the smoke. I like it. I like the idea a whole lot. So, and then for some reason I've got down here, I got some notes written below this game to mention Burnout Legends in here again. It's coming out for the Sony PSP, because when I was reading this, it was actually before I'd read the Burnout Legends, the email, when I was reading it earlier today. And then I wrote, fuck you, EA, on the bottom of my notes. Now, let's see, what else do we have here? Hitman. New Hitman game coming out. Which I'm really excited about, because I like the Hitman series a lot.
They do a good job with the whole sneaking genre.
They do. And you know, it's weird, because there's only a few games like this, so I don't know if it's just not popular or what.
There's a few of them. There's a lot more than, say, Spaceflight Combat Simulators.
Right, no, that's true.
Like Free Space and X-Wing, there's been like maybe 10 total ever.
There doesn't seem like there's as many as there should be, huh? I would think, personally, there'd be way too many of those kind of games, because I find it hard to find a good fantasy game, let alone, you know, somebody that wants to play a fantasy setting game, as opposed to some kind of... I have to mention this on the show. I'm looking at the IRC, and now there's these new people here, and Modem, who's been here since, like, day one. He wakes up, hello, and then it's the Gamer Channel. Are you ready to rock? Who the hell are all these people?
Yeah, Modem gets a little territorial.
Yeah, he does. He needs to go pee somewhere else. He's always mean to the new people, and I'm going to tell him we're talking smack about him on the show right now. I'm watching him. Look at this. Be nice, Modem. Damn it. All right. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, Hitman, Blood Money. It's the new one. What did you say this was?
A sneak genre?
No, number four.
Oh, yeah, I think it's number four.
Number four. I don't remember number three. Oh, Contracts.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, yeah, so this is number four then. I never played Contracts then. That was three, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Damn it. All right. I knew I should have looked that up. But the trailer is out. For all that says, it doesn't say much because the trailer's pretty weak. I mean, it doesn't show any game footage. It doesn't show anything that's, like, telling you anything cool.
Now, I assume that this game will continue the trend of you can either do it sneaky and actual Hitman-like, or all balls to the wall.
Right, right. Now, there's a thing to that, though, and that's actually a major chunk of these of the what we do know about this game here, because the trailer doesn't give away very much. It basically gives away that you're in Vegas. Mm-hmm. That's really all it is. And the only reason you know this is because, like, they show the Vegas sign and some dice roll by, you know? they mention some shit about it, but that's it. It's pretty vague. It just shows off some cool video. Wonderful. You know, it doesn't do a whole lot for me. Now, they've got, it's still the same guy. You know, you're Mr. Q-Ball, number 47.
Right? Barcode on that's so cool.
Yeah, it is. Right? You are a calm, cool, collected killer walking around in your really nice suit, you know? You got your awesome, what do they call those, the two pistols he has? The silver ballers or whatever they are? And he's
something
got that badass sniper rifle? Right. You've got all that. You are a contract killer. And this, though, as you were saying, you've got the notoriety system. Mm-hmm. Now, this, I think, is awesome, because this you can literally play this game two completely opposite sides of the spectrum here.
And I think they started that with Contracts, if I remember correctly.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn it. I really want to play that now. I wonder if I can go rent it somewhere. But if that is something that's not super new, then I apologize, but it's exciting.
They've probably
tweaked it, refined it,
moved it forward and continued on with it and
made it a little bit better than maybe it was before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that they're going in the right step anyway. Because this notoriety system here, if you go, like, right, you're going through a level, and if you go through, like, Kobar here, your guy, he breathes too heavy, and he clomps his feet on the ground when he's trying to sneak past somebody, and, you know, his gun's banging up on the wall or whatever. He can't sneak in these games to save his life. Right, he's coughing every 3 seconds, you know.
Running around like a chicken with his head cut
off. Yeah, right. And you're mowing people down like you're playing the next Doom. You get infamous. People know who you are because, you know, they see you. They see your face. They recognize you. It's pretty hard to forget some, you know, monster bald dude walking around with a barcode on the back of his head just mowing people down in the middle of wherever the hell you may be, you know. And basically the media will start covering this.
Mm-hmm.
So as you get more popular, you're more easily recognized.
See, I think all that's new.
Probably. I really don't know how much they added before, so but it's cool because, you know, you've got guards now that'll notice you and recognize you. You'll walk into it. Let's say you gotta go into, well, I don't know, a hotel room in a casino, you know, you're in Vegas, right? And you're going to take somebody out, so you rent the room, you know, to get, I don't know, maybe to, because the guy's in the hotel across from you, so you want to get a window shot off at him, or whatever the hell the game is going to have in it.
Right.
And let's say you go to the front counter, you know, at the front desk, and the poor little bastard there slacking off all night, trying to sit around on IRC and talk to his friends, and you walk in, and he knows who you are, because he, you know, reads some interesting websites and whatnot, and he sees you, and he's going to freak out.
Right.
He'll rent you the room and then call the cops on you, right? And you're going to get well known, so that's no good, I think. You know, at least for my style, how I'd like to play this. On the opposite end, you actually get a bonus for going through completely unnoticed.
Right.
Which is dope, because it's like, ah, now here's a little reward, you know? Here's a little something for us that, you know, spend, you know, 2 hours trying to sneak through a level or whatever. And they actually give you, the reward in this is more money. It's called Hitman Blood Money. So you get more money the less well-known you are. And I guess you get some kind of a huge bonus if you go through and don't get noticed at all. And then they have a system, like a, it's like their little purchase system, you know. I mean, what are you going to do with all this money? Well, you can buy all kinds of crazy modifications for your guns. There's over 50 customizable things for your guns, right? For just, as far as I'm aware, those two.
Yeah.
That's sweet. Well, so between the two, there's 50. That is awesome. That is really cool. You can, there's even other guns. They have some, like, melee stuff, some long range stuff. I don't know how much weird, ridiculous stuff they're going to put in there. I didn't find too many details.
Always has to be a sap. No seeking game is complete without a sap.
Yeah, I want the wire, though. That's what I want.
The garroting wires?
Yeah, right? That's what I want, man. I want to be choking people off, and yeah, that's going to be cool. You can even, like, pay, if I was reading this right, somehow, like, you could pay somebody, like, hide the body for you or something. So that, like,
sweet, that's the worst part of this game.
Right?
Running around with some dude on your back.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like, yeah, that bothers me about Thief a lot, but it really adds to Thief, so I like it. It's just a pain in the ass sometimes, so. But it's really cool, though. I think that's really neat. I cannot wait to play this game, because, I don't know, I couldn't get too excited over it in the last one for, I don't know why. I think I was pissed because Hitman 2 crashed on me all the time. I had it on the computer. So maybe I'll try out the console version of this one or something. Or maybe I'll have to get my hands on it if there was a number 3 one, you know. But you can even get poisons. And it's rumored that there's going to be explosives in this. Now granted, I'm not going to be using too many explosives. But like, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, hey, whatever. You could go all, you know what I like? I like the mines in GoldenEye. Mm-hmm. If you could do something like that, that'd be a lot of fun. That'd be a lot of fun.
If you're going gung-ho, it'd be good. Explosions.
Yeah, well, that'd be the way to go. You know, grab some person as a shield.
I'm hoping that there's some benefit to going gung-ho, too. Like, maybe there's some guards that are all weak-willed, and they see Ooh. You and run away.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. But since I'm so used to being the other way, and since I like to push for games to be like this, I hope they're doing it to stress playing it like what I feel maybe they want this game to be played like. You know, I mean, this is Hitman.
Well, it's
this isn't Doom.
Right. But it's very easy to make it virtually impossible or absolutely impossible to do it gung-ho.
Yeah.
And then you're forced to do it.
That's true.
Way. If you're going to have it to be both ways, then there should be at least some kind of benefit.
Going Boondock Saint style into the place and just tearing it up, yeah. Okay, I guess I could see that. I guess you're right. I mean,
then maybe some other guards are like all hard ass and they want to be the one to take you down, so they're even tougher.
That is a good idea. Now, and it didn't even occur to me because I'm so biased the other way that I'm like, screw those people that want to go all, you know, gung ho.
I don't know if that's in that game, but it would be a good addition.
I didn't
to
read
the,
anything about
to
it
the
at
fork
all.
System.
It would. I think you're right. It would, and they really should put something in there. But it would. For me, it would detract because then I would be thinking, oh, but it's so much easier just to roll through this place. But not necessarily, because maybe you have to spend more on, say, ammunition than I would.
Right. A lot more.
You know, a lot. Yeah. I'll use one bullet. You can go ahead and use up your couple rounds all that you want.
Not to mention that as the sneaking way, you'd make more money.
Yeah, that's true, too. All right. And let's see. There was a game that I got to play that I actually got to spend some quality time with. It wasn't EverQuest. Amazingly, I'm just as shocked as you are. I don't know how the hell that happened. This game actually comes out May 30th, so it's actually pretty soon here. It's already like the 7th or something like that. I don't know what day it is. 8th, maybe. Somewhere around there. It's not the 10th, I know. So, it's called Rising Kingdoms. What day is it?
It's the 7th.
It's the 7th. All right, that's good to know. Rising Kingdoms is this game. There's a demo out for the PC right now. And it's a real-time strategy game in a fantasy setting. So this is what piqued my interest. You know, I said, ooh, I'm going to have to download me some of this. And it's everything that you would kind of come to expect from a fantasy RTS.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your elves and dwarves and kind of crap, you know what I mean? It's all there. So it's like, that's pretty good for me right off the bat. You know, I said, okay, you know, I need a good RTS. I still like this kind of game. My disc for Warcraft 3 is screwed up or something because it doesn't install anymore. Yeah, I don't know what happens. It like installs and then you try to run it and it crashes. And that really pisses me off because I tried to play it the other day and I couldn't. This game features only 3 races though, which I don't know if I like how limited that seems, I guess, after being so used to 4 for so long. It almost seems like you couldn't have just gone the extra mile, you know. And then I've actually played, I don't remember off the top of my head what they are, but there's some other game I used to play To save my life, I can't remember what it's called, but it had a shitload of races in it. It seemed like it had tons of stuff, but whatever. I mean, three races is still pretty solid.
Well, and if you're gonna... It's better to have three that are well thought out and balanced and than to slap on a fourth one that's not...
That's true. More is not always better.
Right.
Don't listen to what I say. the three races are something else, too. You got humans, which, you know, hey, you gotta have the humans. That's kind of... Everybody kind of knows what to expect, too. You know, you've got the... their graphics and all that are King Arthur style. You know, you've got the castles and the knights on the horses and all this kind of stuff, right? They have...
So it's very Dark Ages...
Exactly.
Europe style.
Exactly, right? You've got, which I think are really cool, you've got the Forester race, which is basically, you know, you could almost kind of chalk this up to, like... Wood elves, something like that, right? Where they just they're but they're not all just elves though. Like you can train like werewolves and crap. It's any kind of weird creature that would like live in the forest,
like a nature.
Exactly, exactly. They're cool. They're the ones you get to play in the demo. You don't get to play the other races.
That's kind of odd. Normally you'd play the humans.
That's what I would think too. But I guess you know maybe this is like a hey look how different we are kind of thing.
Right.
And then the other one, which I don't know about it yet, but it seems like it would be way cool. Is called the Darkling. Darklings, which are all, like, evil, I imagine, undead, I imagine. The screenshots I've seen... Now, here's the weirdest thing about this game. I spent a good portion of the day today trying to find out any solid information on this, and I came up with, like, nothing. I don't know. It's developed by some place that I've never heard of. It's, like, they're going to release it, like, all over the world in all kinds of different languages and stuff, too, so it makes me feel like it's probably not an American company, only because they're usually like, oh, screw the rest of the world.
Right.
This game is coming out in English. That's not the case here, if I remember correctly. There's, and of course, they had to go with the champions, you know, like the heroes in Warcraft 3, where you have, like, a main guy who just whoops ass and kind of runs the show, which has now become standard RTS fare, right? Blizzard did it.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I don't either. I think it's awesome having one guy that you pay attention to that just, you know, just destroys things. And there's they call them champions in this. There's four per race. So you got 12 champions to choose from. In the demo, I believe you've only got the one. You've got the queen, and she's like, you know, you're the foresters. So it's pretty cool, though, because you have, like, a skill system that is not based solely, like, on your level, like it is in, say, Warcraft 3, where it's based on, like, you know, your guy kills enough things, you level up, and then you get to pick a new skill, and eventually you can just totally max your dude out and get all the skills, and you basically only get, like, hit points and whatnot for going up in levels.
Right.
This one, I was able to, like, buy or like you basically train, you know, new abilities for the queen here whenever I had enough cash to do so, which was pretty cool because it was just like, you know, that could be a whole other strategy.
Right.
Just do nothing but crank your main guy and rush him earlier or whatever. You know, maybe you could Zerg him still too, you know, with a pansy ass new, you know, champion.
Mm-hmm.
And you had like a tier system to the abilities. So there was like four tier one abilities to pick from, but you could only pick two. And they were really cool for this particular one because they were like, make okay, you're out there fighting. It was so hard to get used to playing this game, but it was really neat. You were walking around the forest, and you're under attack, and I'd start attacking, and woodland creatures, like it was wolves, would come busting out of the woods and would help me.
Oh.
Right? They have like shit for hit points. It doesn't.
Randomly.
Yeah, as far as I could tell, there was nothing that would set it off. Like, because I wouldn't even be fighting, and I would just be walking along the edge of the forest, and then bam, there's a wolf right there. You can't control it, though. But it follows you around for a bit, and if you go into attack, it will attack, you know, nearby creatures and whatnot, too.
That's kind of cool. I wonder if all three races have something similar to that, or if that's just one of the perks of being...
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I could find some kind of details about it, but I thought that was really neat, though, because it was just like, you could be screwed in a fight, and I was, multiple times. And I would just send my little dude walking off while, you know, the rest of the group is fighting, and I would send my main guy to cruise around, like, maybe the bottom portion of the area we were fighting, and bam, a wolf would just come flying out of the forest and help me out. Now, the graphics aren't Warcraft 3 style, though. They're not, like, cartoony and like, almost cel-shaded looking. They're not quite like that. They're way more pixely looking, you know, like everything was just kind of like hand drawn out, not like crazy polygon designed. It just gave me that impression. So, but it still looked good. It didn't look fantastic, but it definitely looks good enough to where, you know, the graphics aren't going to be a nuisance. You know, they're not terrible. They're not like sharp and jaggy edges. It's not crap. Rising Kingdoms, they did a really good job, I think, of a lot of things. They've got, I don't know, the races I find interesting. Humans, not so interested in, but, you know, hey, these Darkling guys sound pretty cool, too. And then you've got, you know, like I said, the Forester guys. You get, oh, dude, werewolves and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you get, of course, you get little upgrades to that. But back to the skill thing. Then you got two, if I remember right, two tier two abilities. And I think you can, or maybe it's three, and you can only pick like two or one of them. Like you couldn't take them all.
Right.
And then you have like the final uber skill that you can take in the end. And the way that you like, you had quests too. That was another cool thing about this game. You're going along and it's like, I don't know, you find a magic bottle and you gotta kill some genie that's messing up people in the land or whatever, and eventually you would come across a genie and, you know, whatever, kill him. I'm just using that as an example. I don't, they had other stuff in the game. And it was, you know, basically take over this place and go here to do that kind of stuff. I mean, it was really limited. There's like one map that you can play in the demo. And then there's like a training thing. I didn't even do the training thing. I thought I clicked on training. I hit campaign and I just wasn't paying attention. So I just said, to hell with the training thing. I went all through the regular mission. It was hella fun. It was actually, I really enjoyed myself.
I think that's a really good idea to have an RTS style like gameplay, but not just an army against an army.
Right, right. Exactly. Having this like role-playing stuff in it was neat, because you do travel around, and there was little pockets of enemies that I was killing. I wasn't there to defeat the blue guy.
Right.
I wasn't there to kill the purple guy and the blue guy.
And I think some of the most fun maps in Warcraft 3 and StarCraft and whatnot are those type of different things. Like, there was a map in StarCraft where you have... I think there actually might have been a couple of these, but I can remember at least of one that you had a set number of guys, and you didn't have any peons. You weren't making anything.
Inside the base or whatever.
Right, right.
Yeah,
and you just had to defeat that map without any sort of increase in what you had.
Yeah, yeah. Those were a lot of fun, and that's how this one, in the particular map they gave us, it was a little mix of both. It was basically, here is a map that allows you to explore the land and do what you want. But you have to get to a certain point, an adventure to a certain point. Then you can start building up a town. Mm-hmm. So it was cool as hell, because you start out and you're just the queen walking around. You know, and you get attacked right away, but if you're, you know, if you get lucky and you've discovered, or if you know what you're doing, you get some of the wolf dudes on the guy. Now, they have, like, no hit points, and they get destroyed right away, but they do all kinds of damage if they can land a hit, right? It's really cool. So then you take over, like, a town hall place. You know, then you take over, like, you just walk up to it. And then you take over something that makes rangers or whatever, you know. So now you've got a little town hall place, a place that makes a certain type of enemy or mob for you. And then your town hall place, you can make little worker guys, and they only have two resources in this game. It's not like overblown where you've got like 40 million resources. You have like crystals and gold. Mm-hmm. That's all you get as far as the harvestable resources. Other than that, you get like, oh crap, what are they called? Like, honor points or something like that? I can't remember what it's called. It's kind of like, it's pretty hard to come across though, see, which is cool. And it's based on how many you have, you get certain abilities. So like, you could not have the fattest upgrades to your base unless you had a certain amount of like influence or whatever it was on the map. So you would be working towards trying to advance, which, see, a big problem in these kind of games is people like to just turtle up, you know, build a million turrets and sit in their base and hope somebody didn't make any siege weapons and win the map. This, you can only get so many units, and you can only get a certain level worth of units, you know, like quality-wise, with what you with your limited resources, you know. But as you take over the map, your influence basically grows, and now you can have, like, you know, the second tier upgrades on all your dudes, where they get better armor, better weapons. You get the werewolves with the upgrades and the bloodlust things and the regen stuff now, you know. And you have to keep going, though, because it also limits the number of creatures of you know, characters that you can have in your army. So you know, you need to take over half the map and spend those influence points, because it's a point thing too. So again, you're looking at like, shit, do I use these few points I have on putting it towards like this kind of an upgrade for this, or this spell for that guy, or do I put a house in the game? You know, like you build like a little house, which means that you can have more creatures now. I mean, it's a lot of stuff to think about, which is good, because it's still simple enough that like you only have to worry about two resources. You're not doing peon management all day, you know. You're doing an aspect on war where you're like, I have to progress. So is my best option to progress with what limited stuff I have, more dudes or better dudes? You know, well, I don't have that much money, So better dudes is where I'm going, you know, or I'm loaded. More dudes is going, you know, we're going Zerg on this guy, right? It's really cool.
Yeah, that does sound like it could be pretty interesting. And as much as I like Blizzard RTSs, I think it's time they got knocked off their throne at least a little bit.
At least a little bit. At least enough to make them go, all right, we got to bring something else to the table now, you know?
Otherwise, any company's going to get stagnant. They're going to go, ha, 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 we're the best. We could throw out this. And,
yep, and people will buy it. Yep. Rockstar.
Yeah.
Now, you've got other minor races in the game, which I feel they, I don't know, it's just, you can feel the Blizzard influence on this game, though, you know, because you've got, I don't know, even the control setup, you know, was why the, I don't know, it just felt like I was playing a game that tried to be Warcraft 3 to me, you know, which is fine, because at least they're using controls that we know. People went out and played Command & Conquer Generals, you know, not everybody, but a lot of people, like myself, could not tolerate the controls in that game. Later on, I heard they changed it so you have, like, a CNC controls, and then, like, Blizzard style, I guess, and, you know, that really helps a lot for those of us that would prefer those kind of controls, but one of the things that really pissed me off in this game was that you couldn't scroll around the map, like the little mini-map you have, and this was a major annoyance. Because, you know, I want to get someone on the map quick. You click the map, and the camera goes right there. But in Warcraft 3, you can hold the button down and drag that window around on right. The map and zoom around hella fast and find what you're looking for. You can't do that.
I think you could do that from Warcraft 1.
Probably.
At least 2.
You know, yeah. But you cannot do that in this game. So you're constantly clicking. Which I didn't like, because I found myself taking my eyes off the big screen and looking at the map to where the hell was I trying to click again? Mm. You know, I didn't like that at all. That was kind of annoying. The other major annoyance was, let's say you have taken over a building somewhere, so it's not quite in your center of town, so you can't keep a good eye on it.
Right.
And some dudes roll up and start attacking your little base, your little outpost, your whatever the hell it is that happens to be. It doesn't always. It does sometimes, but it doesn't always notify you of that. You know, it should say building under attack, like it does most of the time. But when it, I don't know if it was a certain distance from my main base or what was causing it, but it might have just been a bug where it doesn't always detect.
Yeah, demos, especially if the game is not out yet, can and do have some bugs like that.
Right, and I'm hoping this gets fixed.
Otherwise, it could be a strategic thing where you have to have a unit so close to that thing
that
in order
very,
for you to be notified of it.
That's a good idea, because it makes more sense that way.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm not so sure how much this played into it, but there was a lot of fog of war around the area when that happened to happen. So I don't know if it was like the creatures were hiding in the fog of war and just throwing projectiles at my building or what, but it was really pissing me off. But, I mean, the controls, they even have, like, the hit the space bar to take you to the last event. You know, like, if it says building under attack, you slam space bar, camera zooms over to where you were, which is good. I think that was the greatest thing ever in these kind of games.
Yeah.
You know, and you still had, like, you know, you could set your groups of dudes with, like, control and then whatever number. You know, I mean, it was, the controls were mostly easy to get a handle on. I had to turn the scroll speed way up. It scrolled way too slow. It was fairly configurable, and it looked pretty good. I played it at a really high resolution, 1280 by 960 or whatever it was, 1280 by maybe 1024. I usually don't, though. Usually 960. And I don't know, it was a really fun game. They even had minor races in there. Not that you could play, but that you could, like,
recruit?
Yeah, right? You had trolls, you know, because, like, I would go out and I found, like, a little pack of trolls. Mm. And I whooped the trolls' asses, and in doing so, because I wiped out a whole area of trolls, not only did I gain some little influence on the map, because I'm taking over more,
right.
I now had the ability to produce trolls, you know, like, from this, I could just spit dudes out of this thing. So, and then you had elves, nomads, something called Shades, which I'm not so sure if we're looking at necromancy type stuff here again, or some kind of just nothing but, you know, ghosts maybe, who knows. And dragons were on the list of minor races, it said.
This yet could, another reason to go out and
explore exactly.
And conquer.
Imagine rolling up on your enemy with a dragon on your side, and they're just going, crap, I knew he was going to beat me to that part of the map, you know. It just feels that the game needs a little polish. The user interface, it's not Blizzard's interface, which is the problem. Blizzard has perfected, in my eyes, the real-time strategy interface. And when you're playing a game that's all about controlling as many dudes as possible, as quickly as possible, interface means a world of difference.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
that's why I get my ass kicked so much, because I don't take the time to memorize all the quick keys.
The little hotkeys and whatnot, yeah. Even I don't memorize all of them, but I know a chunk enough that I'm way faster than a lot of people I know.
So I end up fighting someone like you or anybody who has at least a lot of those memorized. I just get my ass kicked because I'm going so slow.
Damn it. I really wish I'd meet somebody that was pretty good at those. Not awesome. Not awesome, because, you know, it sucks when you're just dominated by one guy. Like, I hate playing Hunter. I whoop his ass every time. And it sucks. He's not having fun. I get a good chuckle out of it for a few minutes, but ultimately it's
like
not
a map
that
or
fun,
two.
You know? Yeah, and then it's just like, this is stupid. Why can't you send something after me? Oh, but, you know, you've always kicked my ass, you know, and it sucks. You know, I want to play somebody like, if you could just evenly match people. Oh, that's another thing. This thing does have that online, it's got online multiplayer, of course. A game like this would die without something like that.
Oh, yeah.
It does have online multiplayer, and it also has a matchmaking system, a lot like Blizzard has on Battle.net, where it, like, you just hit, like, set me up, you know, and bam, here's other guys that have played, you know, X amount of maps or whatever,
and
here you go.
This many of
you know,
them.
I'm not so sure how detailed it gets and if it's smart enough to know that, or if it's just like, let's just throw some games together. So you have like a whole lobby interface too, where you log in, you're looking at who's online, you're looking at, you know, these games are waiting for players, or you can try the, join, you know, some game now, who cares what it is, just get me in the game, you know.
Yeah. A ranked ladder system like that is actually pretty important in my eyes, because then you can get connected with people who will probably have close to the same skill as you do.
Yeah, I hope so.
Eventually, especially the more maps you play, your rank will become more realistic.
Mm-hmm, right.
If you played 100 maps and you know that I've beaten this many at this rank and this many at this rank and I just whoop ass people in this rank,
yeah.
Then it's going to know what rank you're in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I hope it's smarter than like that too. And I like that too. I like it because it makes for fun matches. To me, dominating every match isn't fun.
Right.
But if you know the pressure's on and you're freaking out and you know, hey, you lose every so often. You lose half your matches. God, but I bet they were fun as hell while you were scrambling like hell. And I bet you won half of those too. You know, and that to me is a blast. It used to happen to Ode and I. We used to play Warcraft 3 just relentlessly. It was all we wanted to do, and it was so great until he started playing a lot more than I did with some other people. And it was like whenever him and I would play, it was a total wipe on my part to even try to compete, you know. But some of the best maps that we ever played, the best matches I remember are the ones where it was he had me on the run. I got like 4 peons, you know. Nothing left, just decimated, and I'm setting up shop somewhere on the map, and I'm like, all right, Bill, little bastard, come on, because I don't want him to know where I am. And he's running around with his little team of, you know, recon men everywhere, and I see him coming for me, you know, and they'll find one base, and he thinks he's got me, and he's like, what the hell, and it's buying me more time to build another place. Dude, that is the bomb. It is so fun to play like that. You know, I love it. It's just that it just doesn't happen often. I get on Battle.net. And if I'm playing, like, I don't like the tiered games for some reason, or the team ones either, because I hate teammates. They always leave, you know, and then they suck, and it pisses me off. But I like the free-for-all. I love playing free-for-all. You get 8 dudes on a map, and none of them are working together, and then it's all about, like, can I hide long enough until they destroy themselves enough that I can just steamroll them all?
See, I like the alliance thing, because then you're going along, and then... you're beating this guy and beating this guy, and then like, you know, strategically, I'll break the alliance and attack!
Oh, no. See, that's no good either. Especially, I mean, if the... Oh, that was another thing that I didn't quite... Oh, man, I'm glad you said that. The victory conditions in this game were not like, kill all the enemies. It wasn't always that. It was collect all the items if you're the elves. If you're these guys, it's collect all the buildings. If you're those guys, it's... And you had different objectives, which I think...
Depending on who you were?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that neat? Like, as far as I could tell, anyway. Like, I didn't apply it in the one map that I had, because the objective there was kill everything.
Right.
But you click the little button, and it's all elves. Take over all the buildings or some shit. And then it was like, trolls, do something else different or whatever.
Well, see, if your objective is to collect all the buildings, then basically you do have to kill everybody.
Yeah.
That's essentially the same thing. But as far as collecting items and then some of the other stuff, that seems like it's actually pretty cool.
Well, unless there's only so many collectible places on the map. It's not talking about enemy camps.
Oh!
What if there's 20 buildings on the map? And that's all I gotta do is get those 20 buildings. One guy's is destroy everybody. One guy's is find all the items. And there's all kinds of shit scattered around. It's really cool, too. There's items that you get for your guy... that give you all kinds of neat little powers. Like, there was a potion that would give you +15% to your like timer, your countdown timer. Like if you just use a skill, you have to wait a minute. Well, if you could shave 15 seconds off or a percent of the time, that was awesome, you know? Or there was one that was like +2 to your just raw attack damage. And then there was some that were like insta-heal type stuff. It was pretty neat. You could heal your units. You click on this one building and you would pay money and you could click and heal your units in a certain area. I mean, there was pretty neat, really cool stuff in this game. And I am dying now. I'm dying to find out what else is there. Mm-hmm. Because some of the things were really neat. You know, I mean, I'm hoping that everybody's listening to this, you know, let's talk about Rising Kingdoms because it actually is a fun game. And, you know, I get worried when I hear, oh, a new RTS. Ugh. Blizzard's gonna kick its ass when they release, you know, StarCraft 2. Who cares? You know, and I've tried a few. I remember you over here even one day, me trying to play one of them. It was just like, this game is terrible. You know, I don't remember what it was, but it was terrible. We talked about it on the show, and it was bad. This was a blast, and it had some really cool, I'm gonna have to break out the word, innovative things in it. It really did. There were some things I hadn't seen before that really made for a fun game. And we still don't know what else is there. We don't know, you know, what the other two races are. This actually comes out, it's called Rising Kingdoms. It comes out on May 30th. So that's only like 23 days away, I guess.
Very good.
So that is good stuff. So, we had some other stuff to talk about this week. You got screwed by Final Fantasy.
So anybody who,
Used to play
and was a part of the newsletter thing for Final Fantasy
11. This is the online one.
Yeah, probably knows that this month, from the 15th of last month to the 30th of a couple months from now or something, you can sign back on and get a month free.
At least that's what the thing says, correct?
Right.
At first glance.
the email I got says, basically, if you're not playing now and you used to play, you can get a month free. Well, my girlfriend was like, oh, yeah, I want to go back and play. I kind of miss it. I was like, okay. And I thought to myself, well, why not? I'll log on for a day, do a little nostalgic, I'll walk around, maybe get a group, whatever. And so I do, and I had my fun, and then I went to work, I came back home, and I deleted it. I was like, no, it's the same damn game.
Yeah.
Come to find out, when billing time comes around, they charged my girlfriend, not once, but twice in like 6 days.
Jesus.
So I'm like, okay, what the hell's going on? So she calls up Play Online, and come to find out, not only was it not free for us because we did not actually delete our Play Online account, which we knew means that you could never play again, that copy of Final Fantasy becomes unavailable.
Yeah.
If you want to play again, you have to actually go buy another copy of the software. So nuts to that. We weren't going to do that. That's just ridiculous.
They've got it set up so you can't even like just reinstall your thing.
No,
because I don't have mine active. It's not like I have it installed or anything, and I haven't recharged. I don't think.
But if you cancel your Play Online ID, not your Final Fantasy ID, but your Play Online ID, your copy of Final Fantasy becomes paperweight.
Weak.
Yeah, they were having. I heard about all kinds of people that were all pissed off about that.
Jesus.
So I knew that was going to happen, so I didn't do that. But come to find out, the only way you get the free copy is if you did do that. And they were reactivating people's Play Online
IDs.
So, fine. I said, fine. I messed up. Didn't read the fine print. What the hell's going on with my girlfriend being charged for 2 freaking months in 5 days? And they told me, oh, well, The first charge is not actually a monthly charge, it's a setup charge. Never mind that's the exact same price.
Right.
So yeah.
That's lame.
I played for 1 day.
But yours is a separate account even.
Right, right.
This is two different accounts we're talking about. So you ended up getting charged for 3 months worth of play.
3 months worth of play for like out of like 6 days.
Oh my god. Yeah, so watch out. You gotta read that fine print. You know, that sucks. I'm so glad. And I came this close to doing it. I figured, you know, I could go do some of the fun things I liked to do back then just one time real quick. Just
walk around, have a little nostalgia time. That's why I didn't close my Play Online ID, because I thought, you know, someday I'm going to want to go walk around and just go.
I might want to camp the Emperor again one day. Yeah. I do. I would love to, but I'm not going to pay $15 to sit there for 4 hours.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Oh, my God. That's terrible. So, other than that, we're actually running out of time, but this has to be mentioned. The Family Guy is back on the air.
Awesome. Awesome episode.
Yeah, that did a damn good job.
If you missed it, you need to go find it somewhere.
Yeah, you need to get a hold of it, because this is a great, great TV show here. One of the ones that Fox canceled too early, way before its time. Oh. They keep crap like The Simpsons around for how long? 15, 16?
16 years.
Right? Now. That show's been crap for days now.
It's actually pretty good this season.
Oh my god, I don't know, I'm not too happy with it.
There was an episode I watched that a couple weeks ago that was one of the greatest I've seen in forever.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Okay, I pretty much gave up. I haven't liked an episode of that in years. And then they go ahead and they cancel The Family Guy, which is just an awesome show. They cancel Futurama. But the best part to me, that episode that opens up with them going, with Peter saying, you know, oh, bad news, we were canceled. And then he says something like, well, maybe we can come back if... And he reads off a list of like 30 shows that Fox has tried and canceled between the time that they canceled Family Guy and now, and decided to bring Family Guy back, that all failed. And was like, well, yeah, if those all fail, maybe we can get back. That was awesome. And like the whole thing was just hilarious.
And most of them, you can kind of remember some of them. They were just, how in the hell could you think that this would have flown?
I know, huh? It was a great show. I don't know what they're thinking at Fox, but they suck. But it was definitely worth watching The Family Guy.
On the flip side, Seth Green, is that his name?
Yes.
Comes out with American Dad, which is...
That show's terrible.
Crap on toast.
Yeah, it is.
But I will admit that the second episode was quite a bit better than the pilot, so... I'm going to give it a couple more shots.
I don't know. I tried to watch it and couldn't. I didn't like the second one very much either.
But it was better than the first one.
I don't know. You got diarrhea and Rock Hard, and what do you pick? I don't know. They both sucked. I didn't really like it, but I don't know. Family Guy's back. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely worth watching. We're out of here.
Here, and welcome to Sensimia Street. I'd like to tell you what today's letter is, but I am really f***ed up. Hey, Big Bird, do you know what today's letter is?
Sure, Kermit. Today's letter is... joint.
Big Bird, joint is not a letter. It is a word.
Sorry, kids. Today's letter is 3.
Big Bird, 3 is a number.
Exactly. The number 3, which is how many joints I've smoked today. Kermit, are you with me?
God, I'm stoned.
Me too. Guys, show go on! Come on!
Thank you, Elmo. How about we say our ABCs, Big Bird?
Okay.
A, B, C, D, E, F, R, G, Q, K, C, R, C.
I forgot what we were doing, Kermit.
Did you just call me Kermit?
Yes, I did.
Kermit the Frog here. Okay. That's all the time we have for today. Goodbye, kids. Today's show was brought to you by the letter...
Bong.
And the number...
God, you're messed up.
Fuck you. The number, fuck you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, kid. Can you tell me how to get the Sensimia Street?